Yeah, I sound solemn. I know it wasn't because you're not awake. It's because you. I know you yelled it out, but the mask held it back. So I understand that's the case. Aren't you glad this morning that as we are gathered that we do have victory in Jesus? Amen. Aren't you glad that in the midst of all the COVID mess, that in the midst of all the political mess, in the midst of all the uncertainties, one thing is certain, and the most important thing is certain, we have victory in Jesus. So this morning, if you don't get anything else out of the rest of this service, remember, your victory is in Jesus Christ. Regardless of all the craziness going on around you, we have the victory. And we celebrate that this morning as we worship. We have one announcement this morning. In lieu of flowers, a donation was made to the music department by Doug and Dot Burt to the glory of God and in honor of their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. And we do appreciate that this morning. Are there announcements that should be made, however, that were not made? If not, let us come together and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. What a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of blood. Born of His Spirit, what can be more? This is my story, this is my song.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our gracious and most loving Lord, we thank you that as we have gathered, we know that indeed you are with us. We thank you that we do not ask you to come be in our presence, but indeed you have invited us into yours. So as we are gathered, we pray that our hearts and minds are in such a place that you receive our thanksgiving and praise, and we receive that which you would communicate to us. As we proceed, we pray this service will be pleasing to your sight and to your hearing, and that it will strengthen your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our litany this morning is a prayer. It's a prayer to God to use us as He will. So let us join together. Take my life and let it be. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee.
Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love.
Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee.
Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King.
Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee.
Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold.
Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose.
Take my will and make it Thine, it shall be no longer mine.
Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be a royal throne.
Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store.
Take my life,
ever, only, all for Thee.
As we go to prayer this morning, as always, please refer to the prayer list that you see in your bulletin. I do have three that I would highlight this morning. First, we want to remember the family of Edith Turner. She is Dean Chupp's sister, and she passed away this week, and we remember this family. I want to remember Charles Sims in a special way. He is at Emory Hospital in Decatur with possible heart issues. And so remember Charles in a special way. And we remember Bill and Carol McLean in a special way. Bill is at home after being in the hospital a few days. He is now recovering from COVID. And so remember Bill and Carol in a particular special way. Are there joys or concerns that should be voiced that we're not? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, this is the day that you have made. We do rejoice and are glad in it. We do thank you that as we gather this morning, that the victory is ours. The victory is ours in the midst of the chaos. The victory is ours in the midst of the struggle. The victory is ours in the realities of this life. We do not claim a victory because we do not look life in the eyes and see it in all of its reality. But we have victory because we know that you calm the storms. We know that you supply the peace. We know that you supply the strength. We know that you know what we never can. You see far beyond our finite abilities. And so, gracious Lord, we just want to praise you. We want to thank you. We want to praise you for being the God of love that you are, the creator of anything that exists. And thus, it would be in your power to be harsh. It would be within your power that we would serve you in fear. Yet, Lord, in your love, you made the way to fulfill your justice. And thus, because of your grace, we know that we are your children. And if we are your children, we are heirs with Christ. And Lord, I cannot comprehend that, but I sure can praise you for it. And so, Lord, in the knowledge of your love for us, in the knowledge of your power over all things, in the knowledge of your faithfulness, we come into your throne room and remind you of names that you already know, situations that you already know, the ones that we voiced, the ones that are printed, others that are silent upon the heart. We pray your healing touch upon each person, upon each situation, according to your will and your wisdom, trusting you that your answer will be for our good and the good of those we love, because we love you. Lord, we thank you as always that we're worshiping you in the peace and the tranquility, the serenity of this place. Yet, Lord, we know that freedom with which we are worshiping this morning is never guaranteed, and it has definitely never been cheap. And so men and women in civilian and military roles are standing in harm's way right now, even as we worship. May your protection be upon those who protect us. May your healing be upon those who have been wounded in that process, the visible wounds of the body and the invisible wounds of the heart, mind, and soul. And may your peace be upon the families whose loved one made the ultimate sacrifice. And gracious Lord, we thank you that you did not call us to walk this faith alone, but you created the family of God, that you created the church. And we thank you for the congregation that gathers and serves and encourages each other here at Walker. We pray that as you have blessed us, we indeed will be a blessing, and we thank you for this family. And gracious Lord, we thank you that when we leave these grounds, you will be with us. We pray that we will be consciously aware of that presence, and that you will lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed. And we pray that you grant us your safety and bring us back so that we may come together again, worship your most holy name, and encourage one another. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Gracious and loving Lord, we give to you because you first have given to us. So we pray this morning that as we bring a portion of those blessings back to you, that your blessings continue upon each gift and each giver, and that you guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted is used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
All to him I owe.
left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus made it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Thank you so much. Our scripture lesson this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Basically, it's Paul's salutation for this letter. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In the 3rd century, Saint Cyprian wrote to a friend whose name was Donatus, and he said this: "This seems a cheerful world, Donatus, when I view it from this fair garden under the shadow of these vines. But if I climbed some great mountain and looked out over the wide lands, you know very well what I would see. Brigands on the high road, pirates on the seas, in the amphitheaters, men murdered to please the applauding crowds, under all roofs, misery and selfishness. It really is a bad world, Donatus, an incredibly bad world. Yet in the midst of it, I have found a quiet and holy people. They have discovered a joy which is 1,000 times better than any of the pleasures of this sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They have overcome the world. These people, Donatus, are Christians. And I am one of them." You know, I am constantly amazed at how true the old saying is: the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, over time, life has changed drastically. Somewhere I heard that every generation, which, you know, for figuring purposes, 20, 25 years, that every generation invents more than all of the generations before combined. Think about that a minute. In this next 25 years, if this statement is true, in the next 25 years, more is going to be invented than everything up to this point in history. Hence, just looking at our own lifetime, technology and the like has changed everything so quickly. The average person cannot even attempt to keep up with it. It's changed many of the ways we conduct our lives, particularly in communication and business. BJ and Tom this week are going to Virginia and North Carolina, you know, on the Leaf Pilgrimage. And as I was leaving Thursday, BJ said, "I'll send you some pics." And if you don't remember what that's short for, "I'll send you some pictures." Think about that. Remember the days of taking pictures and then being very careful to get the film out and not expose it to the light? And then taking it to the drugstore or the little house in the parking lot? And then waiting with bated breath for about 2 weeks for those pictures to come back, only to find out that you chopped off everybody's head and everything else is blurry? And while BJ has gone on her trip, like we've all done, she's going to take some beautiful pictures and she's going to press a button and I'm going to see them instantaneously. That's in the last, 20 years? Wow. How things have changed. Yet, they really haven't changed. Technology has changed. But human dynamics have not changed. Our relationship with God, or lack thereof, the dynamics of that relationship have not changed. How people relate to each other have not changed. The bottom line still is the only way we experience peace and joy and purpose that we all long for is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And once we have experienced that relationship, then our human relationships are governed accordingly. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, which is among Paul's earliest letters, concerning the relationship between anticipating the glory of Christ's return and the practical living of life in the meantime. And Paul opens this letter with a phrase that grabbed me. "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before God and our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." 4 years later or so, Paul would write to the Corinthians concerning spiritual gifts, and he concludes that the three crucial aspects of a Christian are faith, hope, and love. The most crucial being love. Paul was able to only spend 3 weeks in Thessalonica. The Thessalonians responded to the gospel at such a rate that the Jewish leadership became enraged and Paul had to be smuggled out of town to save his life. And Paul had to leave in such a hurry that he was concerned about the survival of the newly formed congregation. So as soon as Timothy caught up with him in Athens, he sent Timothy to Thessalonica to check on them. And Paul sends word back that the congregation was not only surviving, but indeed it was thriving. And as Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he is thrilled with their faithfulness. Paul praised their work produced by faith. Paul was praising their attitude of service. You know, we can't serve God because we're afraid of God. We can come to worship because we're afraid not to. If I don't go to worship 5 out of 6 Sundays, and if I don't serve in a church office when asked, I might not be in good standing with God. It's not really that we want to worship, that we feel compelled to worship. It's not that we want to serve the Lord through serving the church. We don't really desire to worship. We really don't desire to serve, but we're scared of what might happen if we don't. So we serve out of fear. We can serve out of sheer duty. Now, granted, this world could use some more of a sense of duty. But the Bible also asserts that the cheerful giver is the one that pleases God. Have you ever worked in a job? Or have you ever been faithful in a family situation? And you did it out of sheer duty? My guess is, you know what eventually happened? It bred resentment. When we serve God out of sheer duty, though we may not admit it vocally, we come to a place that we resent this God who always wants something out of us. Note, Paul praised the Thessalonians that their work was produced by faith. Faith is trusting God completely. As most grandfathers do, a grandfather enjoys spending time with his grandson. And one day, the grandfather asked the grandson to go with them, but the little boy hesitated, asking where the grandfather was going. So granddad left in silence without saying a word and was gone for about 3 hours. When the grandfather returned, the little boy asked why the grandfather left without him. Grandfather didn't say anything for a moment or two. And then he replied, "Because you asked me where I was going. If you really wanted to go and be with me, it does not matter where I am going." One crucial trait of being a Christian is the willingness and even the desire to trust and follow Jesus wherever that may lead. Whatever that may look like. Paul praised the Thessalonians for their labor prompted by love. This crucial trait of a Christian is very much related to the first, as it does entail our attitude, but it goes even further into our motivation for our actions, for our service. The Thessalonians trusted God's love and trusted God's faithfulness, and their love for God motivated them to serve Jesus by serving others. One author relates how an experience she had in Nigeria. She described talking to her cab driver, Mr. Kumsi. And the article does not state why, but the driver had to take a pay cut to be doing his present job. And the main thing that bothered him was that he had to take 2 of his 3 children out of school because he couldn't afford the tuition. But he and his wife were praying for a miracle so they could place the other 2 children back in school one day. And the author calls herself the curious type, so she says she asked the driver what the cost of tuition was to attend school in Nigeria. And with sadness in his eyes and mourning in his voice, he responded, "Oh, madam, 800 nara, which in American money is $20. The author says she reached in her purse, took out her business card and $20 and handed them to the man. And she said, "Please put your other two children back in school and call me when it's time to pay tuition again and I'll help you." She said his hand trembled as he took the money. And he was momentarily speechless. It says, suddenly his eyes rolled upward and he began to mumble something in an unintelligible stream of words. Then he said to the author, "I know that Jesus has sent you here to Nigeria to answer my prayers. I know you are a messenger of Jesus." How many times do we look at situations in our community and say, "That's terrible"? How many times do we look at situations in our community or on the news and say, "That's so sad"? Love motivates us beyond feeling to action. The lady felt bad for this gentleman who had to take his children out of school. And she could have very easily walked out of that cab and gone home on that plane and said, "Oh, that's so sad." But no, she took out $20, which to most of us wouldn't be that big a deal. You know, maybe we'd get a few less cups of coffee or something. And not only that, she said, "Call me when it comes up again." Love of Jesus motivates us from feeling to action. Love motivates us so that God can use us as a tool to through which He answers the prayers of others. Wow. You mean maybe if I'm more attentive and if I am more motivated by love, God may actually answer somebody else's prayer through me? Wow. A crucial trait of being a Christian is not warm, fuzzy feelings, but motivating love. And Paul praised the Thessalonians for their endurance inspired by hope in Jesus Christ. Man, don't we need some hope today? A Scottish preacher once said, quote, and I want you to hear this one. The Scottish preacher said, quote, "The most profane word we use is hopeless. When you say a situation or a person is hopeless, you are slamming the door in the face of God." End quote. People are longing for hope. And as we face the sometimes tragic occurrences of life, we all long for the assurance that there is an equalizing force in this universe, as sometimes life is not only tragic, but it is unfair. According to a group called the Recording Industry Association of America, you know what the two most popular songs of the 20th century were? "Somewhere Over the Rainbow" and "White Christmas." Both of which voiced the human soul's longing for hope. But notice Paul prays the Thessalonians not for their hope in general. Paul prays the Thessalonians for their endurance inspired by their hope in Jesus Christ. You're aware of the Left Behind book series that was out, was that the 80s or 90s? But anyway, the Left Behind series, a fictional series attempting to depict the author's interpretation of the book of Revelation of the return of Christ. And two teens were discussing the series. One teen had read every single one of the books from cover to cover. And the other teen had not read a single one. And so the one who had not read any of the books wanted to kind of understand what this series was about. So he asked the teen who had read the books what it was about. And the other teen, said, Jesus wins. Jesus wins. I've not studied Chinese art, but I read an article that stated that plays were often acted out on a two-tier stage. On the bottom tier of the stage, the play was acted out scene by scene. On the upper tier, the final scene was being played out the whole time. The article went on to state that often an audience would be encouraging the characters in the difficult moments of the plot to keep going on, to hang in there, because the final scene revealed their victory. Or the happy ending. Thus is the reality of the hope in Jesus Christ. The great cloud of witnesses spoken of in Hebrews, with the vision of John on the island of Patmos, and foremost the testimony of the apostles that Jesus was raised from the dead, shout to us that Jesus wins. So that when we go home and we watch the news today and we get told we're all going to die of COVID if we have Thanksgiving, we know that Jesus wins. When we go home and watch the news today that tells us if we step out of our door, we're going to get accosted, we remember Jesus wins. When we look at various statistics of whatever in a negative light that we are bombarded with every day, we shout back, yeah, it's going on, but Jesus wins. When your life is falling apart and God has not answered your prayers in the way that you would have preferred, Jesus whispers back, I know I'm not answering the way you want me to. But I won. And because I win, if you hang in with me, you win. So I hope that it can be said of anyone associated with Walker that you and I can be praised because of our work produced by faith, our labor prompted by love, and our endurance inspired by our hope in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, forgive us when we have served you with resentment, if we have. Forgive us when we have served you not out of love, but out of sheer duty. Remind us of your love, and then may we be prompted to serve you because we totally trust you, because we love you, and because we love you, you inspire us to love others. And Lord, when the chaos seems to be mounting higher and higher, and the world seems to be getting crazier and crazier, and our life doesn't work out the way that we're wanting it to right now. Inspire our hope. And not just any hope, but our hope in Jesus Christ, who indeed did pay it all, who has won the battle, and thus we know we are on the winning team. Inspire us, Lord, that we may live out these three crucial traits of being a Christian. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. And would you please stand for our benediction? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. And please remain at your pew as the ushers escort you out.